Friday, Pastor Buddy joining you live on this Saturday evening to kick it off on Worldwide WWRB 3.185. Glad to be in here tonight, sponsored by Brother Mark, a good brother from down in Mississippi, brought to you at his delight. Praise Yahweh. It's wonderful to have the truth, to know the truth. And the Bible says in our third example of just weights and measures, weight in the balance and found wanting. Tonight, part three, we're going to conclude it tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to take our text from Luke chapter 13, verse 22 through 30. Now, let me read. And he went through the cities and towns teaching. I wonder what he taught about. Well, we're going to find out. And a certain man said unto him, Master, are there going to be a few that are saved? Then he said unto them, strive to enter in by the narrow gate. For many, I say unto you, now listen to this now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we've got part three of strive to enter in the straight gate. So we want you to be prepared, and we want to give you examples. Strive, verse 24, Luke 13. But strive to enter in by the narrow gate. For many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter and shall not be able. But when the master of the house shall be going in and shall shut the door, you shall begin to stand without and knock and saying, Master, open to us. And he will answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then you will begin to say, well, we have eaten and drunk in your presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. And he shall say to you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And there shall come from the east and the west and from the north and the south, and they shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, they that are last shall be first, and they that are first shall be last. Now, notice this. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. We're talking about being weighed in the balance. And just like old Belshazzar, did you know there's a little song, a little homeless song that I used to sing in the homeless church, 30, 40 years ago, went like this. Belshazzar's knees begin to shake. Belshazzar's knees begin to shake. Somebody read it, tell me what it said. I see a handwriting on the wall. Well, there's a handwriting on the wall. Handwriting on the wall. Somebody read it. It ain't good news. Tell me what it said. I see a handwriting on the wall. You know, ladies and gentlemen, heaven's going to be cheap at any price. Whatever you can muster up. Now, the Bible says that the straight is the way and narrow is the gate, and the few there be that find it. Broad is the way and wide is the gate, and many there be that go on. So, you see, as the world goes, you have to go against the world. You don't need to go with the world. When you see a big crowd and all these affections of the world, as they lip lock together and nest up like a den of snakes. That's what they remind me of. Because when you go in with the truth, man, they'll let you know real quick. They're not going to go with that. The salvation is all you got to do is believe. When the Messiah said, strive to enter in, because he said there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when they are thrust out. Who is that? That's the ones that were bitten and wooden taste of his supper. They wanted to go with the world. Now, let's weigh this thing up for you and the benefits of the judgment. Have you ever thought about you, not somebody else now. I'm talking about you. I'm going to put myself right in here with you. Have you ever thought about being before Yahweh and the books being opened and another book, which basically is the book of life, and then watch as the angels go down searching for your name? And what if they come to your name and it's been there at one time, but it's been blotted out? Oh my. That's these people that are going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You're gonna say, well, we've eaten drunk in your presence. You've taught in our streets. And then he's going to say, I don't know you. I don't know whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. But they're going to say, well, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? Haven't we gone to the Sudan? Haven't we gone to Timbuktu and made disciples? Yes. Yes, you have. And you've made them two, four more the child withheld than you were to begin with. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if you strive to enter at the straight gate, it has purposely been made small so that unless you become as a little child in your meekness and your humility and your ability to believe him, he wants you to believe. You know, you can play games with an adult and they recognize it as a game. You can play a game with a child and they take it for real. That's what Yahweh wants you to do. He wants you to really believe that you've got to strive to enter in by the narrow gate. You can't have any attachments. I mean, you can't come with appendages sticking out. You can't come with a pocket full of tradition. You can't come with your wings spread out that you've done many works of your own righteousness, going about to establish your own righteousness, failing to have his righteousness. You taught, but you didn't teach according to the scriptures. You believed, but you didn't believe according to the scriptures. You were baptized, but you weren't baptized according to the scriptures. You prayed, but you didn't pray according to the scriptures. You went to an altar, but you didn't go to an altar prescribed by the scriptures. You went in a sin right way, which is the world way, which is the way that seems right, as opposed to striving to enter into the straight gate. You know, it's an evolutionary way, and I'll have to say that with all due respect to my evolvement, if I've evolved. Some people think I have regressed instead of evolved. And if you spell evolve backwards, it means love. And you've got to love before you can evolve. And you can't love the world and love Yahweh. You know, you can tell a man by the conversation of his mouth. You can tell whether he's sincere, whether he takes life sincere, or whether he's just in it for the thrills and the chills, or he's in it to make a name for himself, or he's in it for a business purpose. You know, a lot of Christians are just Christians because they're attached to a Christian network. They want to be good, outstanding citizens in the town. Because, you know, to be, if they run a hardware store, they got to be a member of the first, you know, this and the second that. And ladies and gentlemen, it's political taxis. Now, that's the Broadway. But you can't come through the little narrow gate with a lot of tradition hanging on to you. What about Christmas? Well, you know, this is I just did it for the little children. I played Santa Claus for so long. You can't come into the kingdom of heaven with a big bag of tricks, Christmas tradition hanging all over you. You can't come into the kingdom of heaven with an Easter bonnet on. you can't come into the kingdom of heaven with a false baptism. Well, obviously, I'm baptized Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Pastor Buddy. That's a false baptism. If you can see through what I'm trying to tell you, and you can if you really want to look at it, because most of you are baptized in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I mean, not in the name of the Father. It says in the name of the Father. You don't even know, number one, what the Father's name is. You've never bothered to look. You've never bothered to strive. And that's what Yahweh's telling you about. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, I was 48 years of age, been preaching for years and years, before I found out the true name of the Father. I thought I had it all figured out when I was a 9-year-old Baptist boy. I went down to the creek, and the missionary Baptist preacher, good friend of mine and my family, we knowed him for years and years and years. He was a silver-haired, silver-tongued preacher. And he preached fire and brimstone. You're going to hell if you don't get saved. And I wanted to get saved because I sure didn't want to go to hell. And so he told me what to do. He said, I'm going to take you out here in the river in the confession of your faith. You know, schools used to let out back when I was a boy in the 40s. The schools used to let out. And we'd journey over to the church revivals. And in that time, they had revivals day and night. They would start about 10 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, depending on the time set. Then they turned school out. We were just a short walk away. Our school was within sight of the church. And they would dismiss. Now, this is the truth. They would dismiss school so that we could go to church. And it was a great opportunity for the adults down there to get the children saved and get them ready to meet the Lord and go through that narrow gate. And so we went down to the church, and they would come back to us we get on the back of the bench because we dreaded. I mean, we took life serious, and these were serious people. They would come with their handkerchiefs out. The sisters would come with tears in their eyes, and the men, I mean, here's grown men down on their knees are praying for you right in the back of the church house, calling out, "Oh Lord, God Almighty, save these young children." And you know, I mean, what are you going to do? Well, you're a little child, and your mind is scared to death. And remember, I said, unless you become as a little child. But let me tell you something about a little child. You can start out believing that, but you're going to evolve when you're a child. You spake as a child, and you thought as a child, but when you become a man, you grew up and become a man. And I began to see some of the error of what they taught me there, and I began to question if I strived hard enough to get in the gate, because all I'd done is I looked up. They was down praying, and I looked up, and when I did, a sister started shouting, and she shouted the church down. Well, when she started shouting, everybody else started shouting. They said, "He's saved! He's saved! He's saved!" My heavens above, all I did was come up for air. I didn't feel anything different. I wanted to be saved. Of course I want. Everybody wants to be saved. Nobody wants to go to hell. But, and that's what they done. And so, by just looking up and shouting, and when it all subsided, I had been one of the many of the little children that had been saved. And so they set the baptism, and I think it was probably sometime later on. I think we had our revivals in the fall of the year, best I remember. But I don't think we was baptized until the next spring. But when the occasion come, whatever time that was, I was so happy, because I looked at baptism as a key. I knew that I could read the Bible where the Messiah, he got baptized. So I was really looking forward to it. And the pastor, here's what he said. And when I say strive, I'm not only talking about crawling the infiltration course of the mystery and all the through the religious confusion, because you see, your church may be wrong. I thought my church was right, but I found out basically it was wrong. And I don't make any apologies to what I found out. If you don't find out, if you don't grow in grace and knowledge, if your striving is not hard enough to figure out the difference between tradition and truth. It's the truth that makes you free, not tradition. So you can't go into heaven with a bag of tradition hanging all over you. Well, Mom did it this way, Dad did it this way, and I know they were saved. Glory to God. You know, a lot of people are basing it upon what Mom and Dad had rather than what they get. And when they hear the truth, or when they hear a preacher with a fanatical view of the kingdom, I'm one that believes that you've got to put all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your soul, and all your strength into the labor of the kingdom to enter in. Now, if you get that any cheaper, then the Bible's wrong. And if Yahweh would cheapen it down for a rich man, he would have to cheapen it down for a poor man. Now, the Bible says, I taught last night on the weights, the weightier matters of this matter, and the rich man, you know, he had a lot of possessions, and he couldn't give them up, and he went away very sorrowful. Well, those people that don't have 15 cents in their pocket, and just because they've got 15 cents, they're just as stubborn and as rebellious or calloused or indifferent to the walk that is before them. And so a quarter could keep you out of the kingdom of heaven as well as $10 million. You see, Yahweh don't look at the amount you've got. He looks at the intents of the heart that you've got and how you use that. Use those funds. How hardly would a rich man enter the kingdom, because it would be easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to go into the kingdom of heaven. That's what the Bible said. And Yahweh said, now a lot of you are going to come up here and say you've done this and you've done that, or you preach in our streets and we heard you, but they didn't obey. It's not the hearer that's justified, it's the doer of the word. Now why call me Yahweh? Now notice this. The attachments of those who are headed toward the little narrow gate will have to unload all of their tradition, their attachments, their worldly sorrow, their family unit, the way they were taught, as opposed to the truth of the Bible. So, you see, when you pursue the kingdom of heaven, you've got, there's hard work here. Strive. You know what the word strive is? Agonize in the Greek. Agonize. Oh man. If you want to get baptized with a baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you want to be on fire, which I did, I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and fasted and fasted and fasted and fasted for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I wanted something from heaven. I didn't want something that man told me I had. I wanted something that I could bank on, something that I knew that would come from the other world, that was not the way of perdition, not the way of tradition. I wanted to get on the narrow path to heaven. I wanted to make it difficult. I fasted till I got weak in the knees. I remember when I was baptized the second time in Jesus' name. First of all, I got baptized Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and I went back to the preacher and asked him what the name of the Father was, and he didn't know it. He just said, God. And I knew right then, with the knowledge I'd gained, I see, when I was a child, I really thought he was, you know, I wanted to get saved. I wanted to, and this is what they done, and this is what they told people, and they said, if you do it like we've done, you're going to get saved. Well, of course I wanted to get saved. Of course I wanted to do it the Yahweh's way. Of course I wanted the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And I had read Romans 12 and 1 where it said, present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Yahweh. I hadn't got around to that sanctification point. I was just getting initiated for water baptism. Second time I got baptized, I found out that the name of the Father was Jesus. I read Acts 2.38, or had Acts 2.38 read to me, and it explained to me that the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost was Jesus. Man, I mean, I jumped all over that with joy. I got into that, man, for 30 years. I mean, you couldn't slow me down. I had the Bible figured out. I had figured out that the Son's name was Jesus, and the Father's name was Jesus, and therefore, the Father and the Son was the same person, and that I had salvation in the name of Jesus, and boy, I was a one God, Jesus, apostolic, devil-chasing, on fire, preacher in the name of Jesus. And boy, I preached it for 30 years. And then, I kept striving. Now, something was missing. I had even received the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues. And when I did, I found out that it was a lesser gift than what I anticipated, because everybody in our movement, the Pentecostal movement, they said that that's the ultimate. That is, and when I got the ultimate, I was happy and received it with joy. But then, here come the hunger again. I was actually more hungry after I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking in another tongue than I was before, because I knew by my own heart and my own spirit there was something else lacking in my life. Strived, enter in, agonize. Here I am, taking a jug of good old Tennessee branch water, going to find me a cave and here in the hills of Tennessee, and barking my carcass, laying a prostate upon the ground, the earth, pleading, hungry, fasting, seeking, desiring, Father, fill me with the knowledge and let me pursue the kingdom of heaven like a thirsty deer pursues the watering brook. Satisfy me with your goodness. Did you know that when you do this, the evil one is constantly setting obstacles in your path to destroy the holiness or the good work that you intend to do? You can do good. Evil's always present. And the more good that you intend to do, the more evil is present to set an obstacle in your path. Beware of the enemy. Go, arm yourself with the weapons of virtue. Pray that your faith increase. Pray that your hope and your love will be stronger. Practice daily the works of charity. Give more than you take. And in doing so, you'll help yourself, because you learn a lot by being holy. Don't justify yourself thinking that you're already on the high steps. Take the low step. I don't care how worthy you are to be on the high step of the spiritual ladder. If you feel like you worked harder, that don't mean that you're going to get any more reward, because, you know, the Bible talks about they that came in at the ninth hour received as much as those who came at the first hour. And I realized that. And I began to consider myself, as I trained for the priesthood, I wanted to strive. The word strive is the labor of agonizing. Agonize yourself. Prove yourself. just practice. Just say, Father, have I done enough? If it ended right now, would I have satisfied you? Has what I've done for you, is it going to outweigh what I've not done? I've watched television like umpteen thousand hours. I've only fasted a few. Well, that's going to go against you. I loved the horse races more than I loved Yahweh, to race for Yahweh. Well, that's going to go against you. Well, I loved pursuing money Well, it's going to go against you. Well, I just love to build houses. I was just a carpenter. Well, if you loved building houses more than you love keeping the commandments, I know men right now that have forsaken the traditional Saturday and Sunday Sabbath and quit work right in the middle of the week and ceased from their labors to wait upon Yahweh, and they turned out to be blessed. You see, that's a sacrifice. That's something that Yahweh will, he's not forgetful to show love back to you for the labor that you showed toward his name and his commandments. And he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if a man says that he loves me, he will keep them. You'll know a tree by its fruit, and you'll know where his treasures is at, too. Out of the abundance of the heart. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. When he said to strive, it was as much as to say to put your shoulder to the wheel and work with all your might. Yeah. I know a lot of people, you know, they enjoy seeing you work. They enjoy telling you how to work. But when it comes to them performing, they can do a cotton-picking thing. They're lazy. They like to delegate, especially if they're working, manual working by. Put your shoulder to the wheel. Push. Whatsoever, here's what Ecclesiastes says to do. Whatsoever that your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you're going. Now listen to that. You make your mark before you go to the grave, because after you get to the grave, your labor's over. You cease from labor. And your works will follow after you. You see what I'm talking about? Now let's say that you don't have any works. Are you saved by works? Well, no, the Bible says you're not saved by works. But you're rewarded for your works. Now, you're laboring for a reward. Remember the man that had one talent? And he multiplied his talents, and the man that had ten, he hit them all because he didn't have time to exercise them. He hit, you know, or vice versa. One had one, and he hit it because the one is all he had, and he was too lazy to work for the rest of them. And you know the story there. Do not hide your talent. If you've got the ability to work for him before you go to the grave, here it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, whatever you find yourself to do, do it with all of your might. Whether thou goest, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, Samson set himself to destroy the Philistines. He bowed himself with all his might. Judges 16:30. Samson bowed himself with all of his might. Well, that's a strange statement. Bowed with all of his might? I mean, when you bow, it seems like you just relax. Samson could not relax even when he bowed. He bowed with all his might. That's what made him mighty. And yet, like I said last night about Samson, he betrayed his own spiritual integrity because he was trying to please a strange woman. David, when he made provision for the building of Yahweh's temple and beautifying the temple, he did it with all of his might. He laid all the plans. He had everything laid down, and all Solomon had to do is to carry out his father's orders. When we strive, it means that you should be on Yahweh's side, not the world's side, or even on your own side. You cannot serve yourself. This is not a self-serving thing. If you're selfish and you're envious of vainglory, you're trying to make a name for yourself, or you're going to try to be the biggest Bible student in town. I know people that can quote scriptures just like trees are falling, but they don't have any wisdom to go with it. They just think that they're heard for their much speaking. So, strive to enter in. one mind. And Ephesians chapter 4 and 1, with one spirit we're all baptized into one body. I had to get that one name in that one spirit in that one body. I had to connect those together by striving. And I evolved into baptism finally, at last, in the name of Yahweh. I wanted that name in my forehead. When I began to read, when I went to the university and I studied, when I read everything within my reach and my ability to accumulate into my repertoire, I began to find out that the name of Yahweh was the original name of the Hebrew God, and I knew beyond a shadow of doubt that I was a Hebrew lost sheep wandering out here in the world, and I needed to make amends, and I needed to start striving. And oh, how things changed when I found out what the word strive means. The word strive is expressed, and I can use several other terms if I want to, it's expressed by the word surround that you might obtain. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. Run. Run the race that you may obtain. You ain't gonna obtain anything if you don't run. If you just get saved and get your name on the book and then you go right back to the world and there's no change in you, there's no difference in you, you don't know one scripture from another, you just depend on the pastor to tell you things and you go to sleep on him because his sermon is drier than last year's bird's nest. He don't challenge you. He don't ask you to fast. When's the last time your pastor come together and said, we're going to fast for a week, everybody in here? Huh. Well, you're going to get some kickers there. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. That's striving, ladies and gentlemen. Fight. You say, I didn't know that you had to fight. I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover. You're in love with the world. If you loved Yahweh, you'd fight for him. If you loved Yahweh, you'd stand for him. If you loved Yahweh, you wouldn't deny him when you're challenged by the devil. If you loved Yahweh, you'd study to show yourself approved workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, not wrongly, not supposedly, or not your way, but Yahweh's way. Strive. Fight. Lay hold on eternal life. Labor not for the meat that perish, but for the meat that endures into everlasting life. John 6:27. Remember what I read you last night in the scriptures where it says that John 6:66. Many turned and would not follow him no more because they said, this is a hard saying. Look at this one word. We wrestle with principalities and powers. But you better be in good shape, like I said. When you step into the squared circle, when you make your vows and lift your hands and take the holy cup that you're a soldier in the army of Yahweh, you better believe that old Loosefoot got your number, got your address, he's going to pay you a visit for when you would do good. Satan's always present. We wrestle against the rulers. You think they're going to be in love with you when you're a soldier and you come marching against the kingdoms of this world and the rulers of darkness and the principalities and powers? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Therefore, the Messiah said, strive. Run for heaven. Fight for heaven. Labor for heaven. Wrestle for heaven. Go that extra mile. But ain't nobody noticing, and I can quit right now and be ahead. Yahweh me just to see if you'd still hang in there. It, maybe you'd still have that enthusiasm. You know, when David needed encouragement, nobody would encourage him. He encouraged himself, and that's striving. That's agonizing. Now, the second question is, how should we strive? I'm going to give you something very interesting here. Here's your verse of scriptures. And I, you know, back when I was studying these scriptures, this is one that really hung on me for a long time. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Thou must strive lawfully. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. I read that scripture and I said, my God, it's not just about striving. You got to know how to strive. That's another wrinkle. I mean, there's so many unfoldings of enlightenment as you strive to enter in. You got to know how to strive. You strive against things which are not valued by Yahweh. Did you know that the Bible said that which is highly esteemed among man is an abomination to Yahweh? So you run after those things that seem important to man. I mean, you've got a big crowd and I've got a big church and you want to be one of the big wheels in the big cog in the wheel there. Yahweh said, I abhor those things. I detest those things. I can't stand those things. It stinks in my nostrils. The flesh, making a fire show in the flesh. If you're going to be crowned, you've got to strive lawfully. That means you've got to be alone like Elijah. Think about the thoughts that he felt about. Here's a little 90-pound Jezebel that had old Elijah running for his dear life. And Yahweh caught him in the wilderness, hid like a little whipped pup. He said, what you doing down here, Elijah? And Elijah replied, well, what do you think I'm doing down here? Man, they mean business up there at Shiloh. They sent assassination squads against me. I'm a wanted man. I'm hated. Oh, yeah? Well, let me tell you something here, Elijah. I'm wanting you to go up to Mount Carmel and have a showdown. What? Me? You want me to go when all of your people have deserted you? Yes. If you're going to strive, I ain't going to crown you till you strive lawfully. And I want you to be the man with the plan on the mountain to restore my integrity and prove to my people that you're not afraid of Jezebel and Ahab and the prophets of Baal. Oh my, what a challenge. What do you think about it? How are you going to strive lawfully? Sometimes it might be the spilling of your blood. Sometimes it might mean going to prison for standing. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4, that the spilling of your blood, the striving against sin. Did you know that Micah could have got out of jail if he'd have just said the right thing to the two evil kings? One of them, is the one that I'm talking about right now, Ahab. I mean, you know, he was the one to hear a good word, but he knew that Micah wasn't going to give any good word because he had him down there in jail because of his prophecies. And yet when they interviewed all of the prophets whether that they should go up and engage the enemy in battle, oh, Micah was the last one to be pulled up out of the hole. Sometimes Yahweh may keep you in a hole somewhere hid just for one life-shattering, world-changing event. Here's old Micah. Never a good word from his lips. Messiah before. And he never would give him a good word. And so the king, I mean, he detested him. Did you know that the Bible said that you're going to be evilly spoken of, the so-called? Evilly spoken of. Can you take it? Can you strive to get above that and be weighed in the balance and found perfect? Or are you going to be found wanting? You got to count the cost here. You got to strive against the things which the devil is going to fight you for. And you've got to strive against the things that Yahweh is going to give you to do against the things that the devil's supposed to. I mean, here's Micah. When he was called up, and he knew he was going right back to jail. Put him on bread and water. Throwed him in the hole. That's way down. They used to have prisons. They just dig a pit where you couldn't climb up out of them. And then everybody in the town square could come by and pee on you or whatever they decided to do. Throw pebbles at your head. No doubt, everybody that came by hissed like serpents. They despised, through the government propaganda, they had condemned this righteous man and throwed him in the hole. You may be in the hole, ladies and gentlemen, with the devil, but you're on top with Yahweh. Because who can do anything against you? They did it against Daniel. They had him in the hole. And they turned the lions in on him. He made pets out of those little kittens. They were nothing but pussycats when the Holy Ghost got through with them. Yahweh can turn something that's tragic or dangerous that's coming against you. And the Bible said, if he's for you, who can be against you? If he's against you, who can be for you? Oh, Micah had somebody who was for him, and it sure wasn't Ahab and the evil kings of Israel. They wanted to go to war. They wanted to hear something good. Yeah, going up there. And they told him, they said, well, all the rest of the prophets are supposed to go on. What do you say? He said, if you go, you're going to get your butt kicked. And they said, see, what? I told you. You didn't say nothing good on our behalf. Why should we listen to him? Let's go up. And they asked him again, you say we're not going to win this battle? But all the rest of the prophets say we are. And like I said, there's only one way to find out. You're growing up, and if you prosper in this deal, I'm a false prophet. But if you go and get your butt kicked, you can tell you that I told you so, or Yahweh told you to. Take heed that you don't strive about with things. I mean, you see, if he would have wanted to jar words, see, it was the words that got him condemned there. I was asking to talk the right talk. And the Bible said, you are not to strive about these things of no profit. Micah knew that there was no profit in these things. Put them in remembrance, charging them before Yahweh, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers in 2 Timothy 2:14. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When Yahweh gives you a word, you stand on it. When he gives you baptism, you stand on it. When he gives you baptism in the name of Yahweh against all the other formulas, you stand on it. You don't have to back down. You say, I've seen so many miracles in these other names. Well, marvel not. The 2 Thessalonians says that they will work miracles in the sight of the beast with a false name. Don't worry about that, ladies and gentlemen. Strive for faith. Strive by prayer. Strive by fervent and effectual prayer, which availeth much. As it says in Romans 15:30. My. Ladies and gentlemen, we should strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will strive, but they will not be able to enter. Now, why should we strive? To lay hold on eternal life. That's as simple as I can make. To lay hold on eternal life. Strive because that the flesh, that lust is against the spirit, remember in Galatians chapter 5, the 17 works of the flesh. Only five signs that follows the believer and nine spiritual gifts. You see, you're outnumbered. Satan's gonna hammer you good. With every reason, every fiber of your body, every seam that way is gonna scream right through your carnal mind, saying, "You're foolish." I mean, I've caught myself driving great distances. And what's wrong with you? Why are you doing this? Money out of your pocket. You don't have to do this. It's going to be a dry run anyway, you know it. But you call them faith. I've slept on park benches. I've slept in parked automobiles in the parking lot of churches waiting for them to open up. Because I didn't want to disturb some of the brothers and sisters that had invited me to their meetings. Respecting them, and I would wait till daylight. I'd stop at a restroom and wash my face and comb my hair and anoint my face with oil. Put on my Sunday best and go in there and preach like trees are falling. Keep on striving. Beloved, I beset you as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts at war against the soul. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, 11. Notice this. A idle mind is a breeding ground for contempt of the Spirit. The more you sit around and the more you think about things and you say, "I don't see nobody else striving. I'm the only one that's there. I get there way before." Yeah, I've got there and waited hours, and all it was just a dry meeting. Don't you argue? I said, "Why?" I learned something. You learn patience. Everything that you do, all things work together. Strive, because the whole world's against you. The world hates you. Men hate you. The things of the world are the snares that hate you. Even your bed and your table, your wife and your husband, yea, even those are snares that you got to overcome. If a man come to me and hate not his father and mother, his wife, his land, or even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. If you love any of those more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. Submit yourself. Prove your effectual love. Don't let the cruel darts destroy you. Don't let somebody's testimony against you destroy you. Strive. Strive to enter in. That's why. Strive to make your election and calling sure. Run from idleness. Idleness clothes a man with rags, and the vineyard of the slothful is a gown overlaid with thorns or nettles. Proverbs 23:21. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to be about your father's business. Not slothful, but fervent in the spirit. Fervent means you're working alive. I hate to get around old dried up spirits and ain't got no faith and ain't got no gumption, ain't got no get up and go. I never can stand to be around a dry spirit like that. Do not be slothful, but be followers of them who through faith and patience endured to receive the promises. Romans 12:11. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got to get out of here and I've got to close. But how I've enjoyed our series on weight in the balance. Where do you stand tonight with the Father? Have you given your very best? He gave you his best. Are you willing to lay aside every little weight and sin and run the race with patience and courage and step up and run the race? It's them that run that's going to get rewarded. It's not them that start out and sit down and give up or turn back. Them that do are not fit for the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. If you're going about to establish your own, I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to run into a snag. because Yahweh's got righteousness, then he wants you to establish his righteousness. He wants you to be his word. He wants you to be his faith. He wants you to be his eyes. He wants you to be his hands. As he was in the world, he wants you to be in the world. And he said, I've got to be about my Father's business. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many will strive and won't be able. I don't want to be one of those that's not able. I want to strive, and I want to make the great. I want to press toward the mark and a high calling, which is in the Father. I want the prize. I want the prize. Strive to enter in. Strive to enter in, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Are you one of those that's going to be able? Can you say, I want to press toward the mark? I want to get there, and I want to make it all the way with Yahweh. I want to walk up the mountain, and I want to seek him that laid that wonderful joy of the straight gate. You got to get in his hands, ladies and gentlemen, and once you become a prisoner, you can't escape. I can't get out of this love. I love him so much. I love you tonight, and I encourage you, if you'd like to call me tonight, area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you are outside the country and you want to call this number, you can call 423-509-6263. If you're outside the country, call it 423-509-6263. I'll talk to you about Yahweh. I'll tell you about some of my experiences over 50 years. I've been striving. And I just feel like around the world on WWRB 3.185. Yahweh bless you. Until then, is my call. Yahweh keep you and I love you.